Thumbs up in the chat if you can hear me. Can anyone hear me? Oh, no. Okay, good, good, good. I had a bug earlier. Like, I was messing around on Twitter on my PC, and I bumped the original recording or whatever, so I had to do it over. And Twitter's been kind of bugged lately, so I just wanted to make sure we're all good. Waiting for a couple of our guests, but it's gonna be fun, man. I'm looking forward to this one because usually my Twitter spaces are really technical and kind of dry and boring at times. So it's kind of just gonna be fun to just chill out, talk about NFTs and whatever we talk about. I don't really care, but yeah. So looking forward to the conversation. Jacob should be here soon. I don't know where he's at, but yeah, we'll get it going. Have some fun. Just got back not too long ago from NFT NYC, which was a good time. It's always fun to chill and see some friends. And yeah, it's always a better atmosphere at the NFT conversations. Here we go. What's going on? Happy Friday. It shows you're up here. Jacob, you there? I know we're having problems.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, man. Fridays. Today has been a very hectic day. I had a lot of stuff going on. And then today, this isn't me complaining, people listening to me, but I recently got, because I was so sick of filling up my water jugs. I drink a lot of water, and I have like these Brita filters, and I'm going back and forth, filling it up because they don't really hold that much water. So recently, I was at Sam's, and there was a guy selling like the water jug container things, you know, like the dispenser and all that. And I was like, yeah, I want one of those because I'm so tired of filling up my water. And so I got it, but they came today to deliver it. And it was like, bro, the people that delivered it, like the whole entire box was muddy and like all the jugs had like dirt on it and stuff. And then my actual water dispenser was all dirty and muddy. So it was like, come on, bro. Like, seriously? Because I usually don't complain about stuff like that, but I definitely took some photos and I'm gonna send it to the people. Like, come on, this is unacceptable. Like the whole I had to spend 20 minutes cleaning the water container, which I'm paying for, and it's not cheap. And it's like, all right, bro. Anyway, so that was my fun little adventure today. But yeah, man, just grinding, excited. Like I was saying, I don't know if you heard me earlier. Usually when I do Twitter spaces, they're more technical and kind of nerdy and like, oh yeah, Merkle proof is this and IBC. It's kind of just chill to talk about NFTs and vibe. And anyone that's listening, if you want to come up and talk, yeah, you're more than welcome. We're just going to be chilling, kicking it, talking about whatever. So, but anyways, like what's going on with you, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah, it's been last week. I've been fun. You're glad to finally meet you because we've been in this space for a while now. We never met like face to face, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, like I told you when I met you, like forever, you'll always be like synonymous with me being on the first time I ever spoke live on a Twitter space. So that for anyone out there, it was around Thanksgiving time of 21, I think. Yeah, 21. Yeah, 21. And yeah, I remember it was like Friday night and I'm sitting in the same chair that I'm sitting in right now. I was doing some work. And at the time, for those out there, like I was like really into Osmosis. It was kind of vibing with them. Actually, in fact, I had a little gig with them back in the day as a moderator in the chats. That's how I got kind of started in this space. But anyways, like I was nerding out all the time. I spent thousands of hours of research and you guys were like talking about some stuff that maybe weren't, I don't want to say factually correct, but a little bit confused about. So I was like, eh, whatever. I'm just drinking some whiskey. I was like, let me buzz in here. I honestly didn't even know what the hell Twitter space was back then. I'm such a boomer. And yeah, I buzzed in. And that space was so fun because it was just like I don't know, six or seven of us. And then that night, like, went on a bender, and it became like a couple hundred. And it was like everyone in Cosmos and a lot of the devs and founders of each chain, like, stopped by. And it was all organic too. And that kind of motivated me to start doing all this stuff. I was like, oh yeah. Cause I'm like a type of person that believes in energy and good vibes. And I kind of just go with the flow, you know? And I was like, yeah, I was just assigned to, like, do this. And then, yeah, I'm glad I listened to my intuition, because, you know, if you would have told me any of this stuff was going to happen like 3 years ago, I'd have been like, you're crazy. Like, I'd never spend most of my day on Twitter and creating content and talking about crypto and doing any of this stuff. And now it's just like my life, and it's so much fun. It's my passion. I want to be doing this the rest of my life, is just vibing, going to conferences, you know, digging into nerdy stuff, talking about the tech and how things can benefit, you know, individuals, businesses, and governments, and whomever else. You know, I firmly believe that crypto can better everything and make all the pre-existing nonsense better or more efficient and more fair and everything else. So, you know, like, I believe crypto to my core. It's like, so yeah, but NFTs are so cool too. Like, if you'd have told me, oh yeah, you'd be buying all these NFTs and you'd have thousands of NFTs, I'd have been like, you're crazy. And because I remember when I first got into this space, I thought NFTs were stupid. I was like, oh, those are dumb. You know, now it's like, I can't get enough of them. I got to put myself on timeout, because if not, I can go 3 hours without getting any work done and staring at JPEGs and stuff. So anyways.
Yeah, that's true though. Because it's kind of funny though, because like the seven of us who started doing space like this, because I remember I wonder time, like me, you, Lilogan, Eric, Trigg, Cosmos, Clay, we started doing space for Cosmos. We didn't have any space at all. It was Cricket. It was only us. I feel like we kind of started the trend of Cosmos space. So we were like doing the space, only us, for like 3 hours almost every day. We're like talking.
Because like Cosmos wasn't cool back then, you know? No, like we were just like some dudes having a fun hobby, right? It was like, oh yeah. And then you know, we all believed in it, like we just truly did. And then it was just like cool to see over the years now that more and more people have a, I guess, more of a positive connotation about Cosmos. Because like before, it was like, oh, that's stupid, Cosmos sucks. And it was like, you guys, and it was like, no, like, we're building out all this awesome tech. It's so decentralized. And everyone wants to throw these fancy words around, like interoperability and modularity and all these other terms just to sound cool. But it's like, yeah, like, that's because of Cosmos. Like, that's what we've seen years ago. And, you know, I firmly believe the only way crypto can be its best version of itself is somehow implementing IBC everywhere and, you know, everything like Cosmos related. Because I honestly, this is the thing too, I think a lot of new people don't understand, or just in general, like when they hear the word Cosmos, they always think of Atom, like if they're new. And like, I've never ever once, and this is no knock on Atom or the Hub or anything, I just always thought of Cosmos as IBC. like, I thought that's and it was almost like kind of weird branding, you know. I know initially I just started calling it the IBC network, because anytime I thought of said Cosmos back in the day, everyone out on the outside would think of like, oh yeah, you need Atom to do this. It's like, no, that's not how it works here. Like, I was like, think of it as like a galaxy of planets, and we're all kind of citizens, and we're free to go to any of them. And also, like, all the currencies are kind of like acceptable, you know. Like, You don't need to transfer your franc or your euro into the dollar or vice versa. Like, we'll accept everything as long as it's inside the IBC galaxy, so to speak. So yeah, it's just been so cool, man. And then I nerd out all the time with like people in other ecosystems, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're building this and this. And I'm like, yeah, you realize like you're just using the Cosmos technology to do that, right? And they, like, a lot of them don't know that. And I'm like, well, you know, it's like a blessing and a curse in a sense. And but anyways, like, Cosmos is amazing. Like, I love Cosmos. That's why I put the name in front of my nickname. I threw Cosmos in front of it. But in all seriousness, like, I think of Cosmos as like all of crypto, even things right now that they may not be using Cosmos one way or another. Like, I think all roads lead to Cosmos. And people can build all these duct tape solutions out there, but eventually they're just going to be like, screw it. Like, Cosmos works. Like, it's battle tested and we've survived the meteorites of Luna and Terra, and we're still here. So anyways, that's my little, I guess that's the nerdiest of the all talks I'll have the rest of this space.
No, you're good. I love to hear you talking too, you know what I mean? It's, you always have like a good insight. And also like with the whole Cosmos SDK, you know what I mean? A lot of major chain are using it, like Binance. People don't really know that, you know? Binance, out all the chain, they are using it. Crypto.com, TorChain, even Polygon use some kind of SDK. They are like heavily modified, like in Polygon, but they are using SDK, you know what I mean? So it's pretty interesting to see what happens in the future with like all chain and with IBC.
Exactly. Even AVAX is using, and I think they call their, I forget what they call their version of the Tendermint. I can't think of it right now. And that's something to do with snow and like winter.
Is it like subnet, something like that?
Well, no, that's what they call their like sub networks. But like, in order for them to do it, like the consensus mechanism, like they're using Tendermint. But what's cool about Cosmos is like it's a blueprint. It's like, but you can modify it and, you know, plug and chug, and it's like so cool. Like I remember, and I'm not saying Nick White took this off of me because the dude's a gigabrain. He's a lot more intelligent than myself. But he, I listened to a panel he was on not too long ago, and he was talking about modularity, and literally you could probably go back in archives and find me saying the exact same thing about like 3 years ago, maybe two years ago. And I was saying about Cosmos being like a car plant, like a Ford plant, right? It's like, how do you build the best car, the most efficient car? Well, you allow each department to like basically be specialized in that one particular part, and you make that part the best it can be, and then you plug it into the car. But if that part breaks, the entire car doesn't break. Like, you just go ahead and fix that part. And that's kind of like how Cosmos technology is. It's like, oh, well, we're all connected, but if some upgrade needs to be done on like Injective or something, or like a ride chain or whatever, it doesn't just shut the entire network down. And that's the problem with those monolithic approaches on other ecosystems. It's like, you know, you can be this really great protocol, like, and I like Solana. You can be this really great protocol on Solana, and then like if there's congestion on Solana's network, like, you get beat over it. It's like not your fault. It's just the overall mechanisms of everything. But like Cosmos isn't like that. You could just modify it on the run. You could fix things, and it's super flexible, you know. And that's what you need with technology. I've been around the block a long time now, and technology is never exactly what you plan it to be. Sometimes it just evolves into things like you didn't intend it to be. Like, you can look at Bitcoin, for example. Like, no, back in the day, like, everyone thought like, oh, Bitcoin's gonna do everything. Like, Bitcoin can't do anything except for what its main intention is, and that was by default. It was like, look, this is the most secure network in the world. Like, you just store value on it, and that's basically the premise around it. Now everyone's trying to build things. I mean, that's another thing you're talking about, Eric. Like, Eric's working with Babylon. You know, everyone's like, oh, we're building these Bitcoin L2s. Well, you're just using Babylon. You're using Cosmos to do it. And then it's like, you know, it is what it is. But like, that's the whole premise of tech. And like, I think Cosmos is positioned so well because, you know, one, it's kind of like free to use. Like, developers could be like, yeah, let me just tap into Cosmos and like kind of modify it, fix it, do what you want to do with it. And it's just super cool. But anyways, I don't want to get into the nerdy stuff. I kind of, it is, you know, but I really wanted to talk about like NFTs and Cosmos. And, you know, even recently, it's pretty cool to see that there's more bigger mints in Stargaze. So that's starting to grab some traction. And yeah, it's nice to see, because as a user, like, I use everything. And I think I like Stargaze from the fact that it feels more retail oriented. And then you go over to other chains, like Solana, and this is no knock on Solana, but I've used Tensor, and I've used Magic Eden and Blur and all that. It just feels more trader oriented. Like, the whole premise is like, let's buy NFTs and make money with NFTs and sell them and flip them. And I'm not saying that's the wrong approach. And maybe Stargaze gets like that at some point, but Stargaze is more like, hey, like, good vibes. Let's buy these NFTs and show support. And, you know, full disclosure, it's been awesome to see all these different airdrops to NFTs, because it kind of like solidifies my degeneracy of owning like thousands of them. It's like, oh, I kind of recoup my money back from all the ones that went to zero. But you know, all jokingly aside, it's good vibes, man. I think NFT NYC was awesome getting to meet you. And yeah, because we've had plenty of conversations. So, but yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about the Geckies, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, like before the Geckies, I'm touching like for everybody who's been there since the beginning with Stargaze, people remember like the people kind of see the progress of like the platform over time, which is amazing to see because when Stargaze launched, you can even trade your NFTs. I feel like for like the first 4 months, all you could have done was like minting your NFTs. You know what I mean? So I remember like during the first week and like the first 3 months, all you were seeing on Twitter, like win. Like on the whole Stargaze Discord, like win. We're like yelling, like, come on guys, put the marketplace back on. And like and Shane, like the team were like, soon. so that was really fun in itself, and like seeing the progress over time and like all the other contributors coming along with Stargaze. It's been amazing to see, and that's like one driving force of what I'm doing with Atlas, Dying Geki. I'm like seeing the progress. Hopefully we can not recreate, but like having creating like a community around the Gekis and Atlas that way, because my goal, I want to contribute to the ecosystem, and by doing so, I'm looking to get like more people involved. But the Gekis by himself, the Geki was a free mint on Stargaze for everybody to mint. So, and the difference between Stargaze free mint and other ecosystem free mint, it's actually free mint because you don't pay any gas fee when you mint NFT on Stargaze. So you could literally create a new wallet and still participate in a free mint on Stargaze. And that's, I feel like that's a great way to onboard new user, right? So they don't have to get gas fee. Like,
Totally. Like, yeah, like, exactly. You know, when we were just at that party, the Bad Kids party, and they had those badges, you know, you can meet someone there and they could be totally new. All they have to do, I mean, yeah, they got to go on the Google App Store or the, you know, Apple Store or whatever and buy or download the Kepler wallet or Leap wallet or whatever. But like, other than that, it's just like, hey, type this in. And then you got a free NFT, and you don't need to be like, oh, I don't have $50 in gas on ETH, or, you know, I mean, Solana is dirt cheap, but still you would need to do the process of getting SOL, and it's kind of like friction, right? And yeah, so like, I think NFTs connect everyone, and it's very vibrant and obvious. Like when you go to crypto events, right? Like I've been to the real nerdy ones. It's like everyone's talking about like what a Merkle proof is and GK rollups and optimism, you know, like that's stuff that I'm interested in, but I'm like, I'm a weird subset of human that cares about like how technology works, right? Like I always want to know why things work. No one cares about that for the most part. Like when you go on a website, no, people aren't like, oh, well, I need to know what server it's pinging off of and why. Like I care about that stuff, but again, I'm just a small subset of human out there. But like, people always love art, people love music and expression and everything else, and that's what NFTs obviously do. And yeah, so it's awesome and it's a great way to onboard. But yeah, what I was saying is it's very vibrant and obvious. Like when you go to a crypto event that's like NFT related, the split in the male to female ratio is a lot more even than, you know, going to talk about ZK rollups and stuff. You know, it's like, we're probably at a 90 to 10% at these real nerdy ones. And then you go to like the fun ones and it's more like at worst 60-40, like 60% male. And I hopefully that keeps changing. And even with the nerdy ones, they're starting to change. Like I know I was just at ETH Denver and I was at some of the nerdy ones, and nerdy's not a bad thing, by the way. If anyone's like, I'm a nerd, what are you talking about? You're rude. No, I'm a nerd, so I could say it. Anyways, I think ETH Denver was more 70-30 now. Like, but a couple years ago when I was at these things, it was like, dude, I went to this concert at Permissionless down in Florida back in 22. Dude, it was like 98% male and maybe 2%. And I think those were just all the wives that were like kind of stuck going there with their man. Like, it wasn't just like, you know what I mean? Like, my wife was there. It was a good time. We were at this concert. It was like, it was awesome. I was like, damn, dude, this is fun. But it was just all males. It was just like, yeah, we need to change that, right? And get more women involved. And I think it's starting to happen. So that's a good sign. Like, you know, because that means more people are involved, more people care. And but yeah, like back to NFTs. I think NFTs are awesome. So it's not never financial advice. Like I buy them and I fully expect them to all go to zero. Like I'm like, I'm literally just donating to this artist because I hope the artist can pay their bills or keep their passion going along. And you know, but it's been fun, dude. Like these these airdrops are awesome. It's like I got my money back probably through spending. Who knows how much money? I don't even want to think about how much money I've spent on NFTs. It's probably bad. But
no, you're good.
But yeah, I didn't even realize. What's up, Oracle? My bad.
So it's fine. I was just saying that I've been like a technologist my whole life, right? And so like all the nerdy stuff, I go and figure. Oh, I want to figure out the Ezekiel Rolls. That stuff that I'm interested in. But I think I only started really participating in Twitter recently, well, at least on this account. But I've been in the space actually since 2013. And I've seen a lot of stuff happen. I was actually really, really happy when we actually separated Cosmos from, they changed the name. I don't know if everybody knows this. They changed it from Cosmos to Cosmos Hub. And I think part of that was like causing the confusion because IBC is just like this huge thing that, once it started getting going. And like you said, Binance and Avalanche and all these different chains using it, people don't even know that Cosmos SDK. It's just like this amazing utility, right? But I think, if I think back, I don't remember exactly where I read this, but like as far as I understand, like Binance reached out to Cosmos and like, hey, we want to do a listing, and they just like ghosted them, right? But they like for a long time were just not participating or trying to do any kind of marketing. It's like, oh, I don't know if they're trying to avoid regulatory scrutiny or something like that, but they're just like, hey, everything's gonna be super organic, right? One of the good parts about that is that it really increases decentralization. And, even though it didn't get as much attention as I think it probably is due, right? And so we're starting to see some of that stuff happen now. But, when I think about Stargaze, to your point, what we're seeing, and this is one of the reasons I think Sloss is so great for this, that we're creating new on-ramps, right? Because when I look at it, Stargaze by itself, the user experience is so much better than the alternatives. So you go use Solana, you want to use Cardano, you want to use, I've used like all these different things and this, the user experience for Stargaze is great. And a lot of the Cosmos ecosystems, you're just like doing staking or doing whatever. It's just such a better experience, but the barrier to entry is still pretty high, right? If I'm a new person, that's coming into crypto and like, how do I even get to Stargaze? Like, okay, maybe I can get some Ethereum and I figure out I can just swap it, but the gas is super high, right? Or maybe I figure out, I can just buy some Atom on Coinbase, but then I got to figure out how do I trade, send it to my own wallet and custody my own funds. And then I'm going to put it over Osmosis and then like use a DEX for the first time and transfer it and then do some IBC transfer. Like, it's still complicated to get somebody into this.
I want to mention for that Stargaze, like in Stargaze, I don't know if you saw that, there's a button on the Stargaze website called Get Stars. And from there, you can onboard into Stargaze from anywhere, either from ETH, soon Solana, any chain that you can think of, even like Noble USDC, like the CTIP, you can onboard from anywhere. Two Stargaze.
About like in general, like because you still have to have your own wallet, right, and custody your own funds, right? So and that is a huge problem for a lot of people. Like, I'm literally talking to some of my friends, like we're all investors and we're professional investors, like, and that's like, this to me is like an anonymous kind of hobby, right? But like we do real investments in companies and things like that. It's like, you know a lot about crypto, I want to get some exposure to this. And so like the first time we sat down, I spent an hour with him talking about, how to custody your own funds. You don't want it on an exchange. There's a huge risk. And by the way, it's like bearer bonds. Anybody that has this key, this is how cryptographic signatures work. Anybody that has this owns your crypto, right? Yeah. And like, they can make like, this is how it doesn't exist in your wallet. It's on, it's on the way. You're just spending an hour talking about that because that is so important. People, they don't understand how it works, and they like, I put my seed phrase somewhere or do like something, like, and then their funds are gone, right? So people need to understand that And yes, like you can go and you can click get stars and you can get it, like the avenues exist, but we have to solve this problem so that, you know, the average retail investor can start getting into these things. Like the experience is great, but that's what I mean when I say like the barrier to entry is super high.
Yeah,
we're like a month away. I think we're about a month away for that, like the wallet abstraction stuff where people could just, they don't even need to know what their wallet is. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I want to buy whatever, and they could just do it with their email address, just like a Robinhood account. I know Calypso is building that out too, but also I know like on Osmosis, that's like one of their main things that they're working on right now. They want to be able to just, you can onboard into Osmosis basically without any effort whatsoever. You don't even need to know that you have the seed phrase. You can view it if you want to, but you know, it won't be as secure because it's obviously best to have your seed phrase and write it down and or whatever, however you store it and never give it to anyone and all that type of stuff. But no, I agree. Like you have to make it easy, right? Like if people, there's like even the people in this space right now probably listening, we're like, again, we're such a small subset of humans. In my life I spent in finance and accounting and all that. Most people, even ones with decent financial wherewithal, like they don't care about they want to make more money, but they want to be hands off. And then for you to go into this space and say, not only do you need to be hands on, you need to spend like a good amount of time to just understand the basics of this and how it operates and the mechanics behind it. And you need to know stuff because you don't want to be sending a bunch of money. Like one of the misconceptions about a lot of people in this space, and it's even like people that are in this space, I'm not saying this room in particular, but maybe some of you are, don't feel bad if I say this, but they think that if you get a ledger, like you're actually storing your money on that ledger. It's like, no, that's like a key to get into to call it into the matrix. And without that key, you can't get into the matrix. But it's just like it's a sick way of signing the transaction. And the blockchain's like, okay, this is acceptable. And you can't just like sign it anywhere else. Unless, again, that person knows your seed phrase or your private key, then it doesn't matter anyways if you have a ledger or a hardware wallet. So I was listening to this space yesterday and someone was like, oh yeah, I was telling my father about blah, 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 getting a ledger. And he's like, I'm storing the funds on that device right there. And the person was like, yeah. And then he was like, no, thank you. And it's like, that's not even true what you're telling your dad. That's not what it is. You know, like there's so much information that's just wrong in the space. But anyways, we all believe in it, but I truly firmly believe like what you're saying, Oracle. Yeah. But I think we're so close though. So that's going to be great that some random person could just like, you know, oh, I'm going to buy Bitcoin, click a couple buttons and it just goes directly from their bank and they don't need to know. But also it's stored on chain. It's not on a centralized exchange. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. There's also that one team that I'm working with. I don't know if you know the Capsule team. So they're working, they already have it live where you can sign transaction and like use a wallet with just your email, Twitter, Discord, and a bunch of other social platforms also. So for our platform, we're planning on integrating them where you don't even have to use a Kepler to use a platform. So that would be kind of neat to use too. So I'm looking forward to do that and like, kind of like start evangelize people outside of crypto to kind of use what I'm building with Atlas DAO. So I don't know if you know them, the Capsule team.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They are they the ones that do the Telegram stuff too or no?
No, I don't think so. But you can sign up with your Telegram, with Discord, with Twitter, with your email, and they keep adding up new social login. And the cool thing with it too is not just login. You can sign transaction and do anything like a normal wallet can do with your social login.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. It is. They're like, I'm pretty excited about that. We've been busy like what we were building with the Atlas app. We've been building like with like this new feature and like off one end. But as soon as we're done with that, we're gonna add that to a platform as well, and what the people can start using it. So it's pretty cool.
That's cool. I wanted to just respond really quick to Haas, because you're talking about, hey, what is a hardware wallet isn't, right? And I don't know if everybody here understands, like the whole purpose of a hardware wallet is to protect your key. And like I was saying before, anybody that has that key can make transactions from your account. That is your identity. And so the hard purpose of a hardware wallet is that your key never leaves the wallet, right? So anything that interacts with your hardware wallet will say, hey, I want to do this thing. And your wallet will cryptographically sign that and then send it back. And so nothing else can do that, right? And so if you write your key down and or like, hey, I'm going to sign in with some other wallet and I'll use the same key, then that defeats the purpose, right? And, you know, I just want to say that because, you know, I've had that response so many times, like, oh, I'm keeping it on this. It's like thumb drive. And if I lose the thumb drive, it's gone. Right? It's like, it's not exactly how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as long as you have like an electronic device, you can basically just put your information back into it. So, you know, I have one, I probably don't remember all of it now, but for a while I actually stored it. Like I have it, you know, stored away, but I also just memorized the entire phrase just in case anything ever happened. As long as I didn't get hit with like a brick over my head, I should always be able to get access to that, you know, that wallet or whatever. Yeah, but I don't recommend that because I got it. If you can do it, then do it, because then it's always great. It's like you have money stored in your brain, basically. It's pretty futuristic anyhow. But no, man, I'm just excited. Like, I think that the NFTs are starting to get more, I guess they're getting less toxic. For example, you know I was at a dinner about a year ago, and the person is a graphics designer. And as soon as I, like, the whole conversation just got like kind of, I don't want to say sour, but like the vibes went down as soon as I brought up the word NFT. And this is from someone that's like, that's all they do for a living. They create graphics and they're basically a graphics designer. So you would think they like art and all that. And it was just like this negative, you know, connotation immediately. And I could see why, because there's been so much crap and there still is, and it's just the way it is. But you know, I would much rather live in a kind of a decentralized, somewhat permissionless world where we're all adults and we can do what we decide we want to do, right? Like, I think that's the way I just roll in life too. As long as you're not harming others, like, I don't want you to tell me what I can and can't do, and I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do. It is what it is. I'll make my own decisions. And I think that's what kind of, you know, crypto kind of offers for the most part, but also more so with like NFTs and all that. So, and also, you know, I think NFTs are going to become so much more than just a JPEG and just, you know, PFP and all that. So that's going to be fun to see different utilities. They're starting to come to play, but you know, it's going to be fun, man. It's just like, we're early. It's a great ride. And you know, yeah. My thesis, Jacob, about all of this, I think I've said this numerous times, is, and that I would never want any of this to go to zero. I don't think it's going to. I mean, I'm betting against that, obviously. But even if it did, it's like, man, I had a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of cool people, travel, see some stuff, and none of this would have happened without crypto. So, like, cheers to that. But anyways, go ahead.
No, you're on point too. Like, the culture on NFT, it's kind of unique. You won't get that with token, because NFT, like, you have like the social feature, like each NFT have their own images, their own data, in a sense. So everybody get to pick the price of an NFT and like the value of it too. And for me, like, what I'm looking forward in the future for NFT, it's how do we integrate like the social feature into the chain, in a sense where, with, let's say, for example, with animation, right? Like, you could use NFT in the aspect to fund, not even fundraise, but like use as a way for to create anime. And like, and there's also like the other part where like you could have an actual company on chain where like each NFT will present a share of that company on chain. Those are like some fun thing I'm looking forward to happen. Yeah, go ahead, Crypto Oracle.
No, sure. I was just thinking, you know, I remember like the first time I started hearing from people about NFTs, and there's a lot of you know, just push back, like, oh, it's a picture, it's a digital picture, you could just make a copy, why is it? And so I started explaining to these people, okay, let's just kind of do an analogy using real world stuff. Like, let's say the Mona Lisa, for some reason we find it that for $0 we could make atomically, you know, accurate replicas of that, and everybody gets one for free, right? And it's impossible to tell the difference, they're all the same. Right. And then let's say that we come up with a technology where we can definitively prove which one's the original. Now that one's actually worth more because of the visibility. Everybody knows about it, even though it's still atomically exactly the same. And I was like, well, you know what? But the thing is that people don't understand NFTs. You know, I'm like rewinding like several years, right? And like, because NFT is a non-fungible token. The only thing that that means is that these tokens have properties, doesn't matter what they are, that make them distinguishable from other NFTs. And that means that the value can be different. And so, you know, you have smart contracts, right? You have these, you know, non-fungible tokens that have properties. And you know what? People decide for now they're going to put pictures in them. That's fine. But really what it is, it's a fully programmable entity that you can use to do literally anything, right? You can say, well, you know what? I'm going to have an NFT, which is basically my proof of ownership in this vehicle. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this NFT to basically lend this, you know, vehicle, my car, to like some random person. And it's going to use other things that are on the chain about like, oh, what's the maximum speed that's allowed? And I can have all these smart contracts that are guaranteeing the payment depending on how they actually use the car, how much, like, and like, oh, okay, well, that's, you know, like, you can do just so much with them. But yeah, you could also put a picture in it. And that's great. You know, I love art, actually. But you know, it's just funny.
You know, another thing that people are going to be able to do, because the misinformation from, you know, like journalism now, it's really bad. Or like the fact that you and I could say one thing and then down the line, you know, everyone just kind of changes exactly what that person says. And then, you know, then it becomes something that someone didn't even say. But like, say I was a journal, you know, I was in journalism or whatever. And my wallet's docs, like Cosmos Haas dot whatever, ETH or whatever. And it's like, I write my blog or my report or my conversation or what my thought process is. And then I publish it on blockchain. And then it's like, no one can ever misconstrue that. Cause it's like, hey, on, you know, April 12th at 12:37 PM, Cosmos Haas said this. And it's like, no one could say elsewise or otherwise, you know? And it's like, that's another random thing that like NFTs can do, like, you know, the audio and the conversations, or like if I was interviewing you, it's like, look, this is on blockchain. And like, you can't say that person said this or did that or whatever. And there's so many things that like NFTs are going to become. And it's awesome. I know you and I were real big into like AI and stuff, and like AI, and it's just, it's crazy, man. We're so early. I'm excited to even be, I think this is like one of the greatest times to be alive, man. Cause I was always a tech enthusiast, and I used basically every piece of tech since I could remember. And, you know, if we were alive back then and being able to like throw money at stuff, and you think about it, if you just had this long time horizon, you probably would be really successful right now, because, well, you know, technology is always going to keep evolving. The only way technology stops is like we just get like wiped out. But at that point, like, who cares anyways, right? We're all wiped out anyways. And all jokingly aside, tech's always going to keep evolving, you know, and pushing the envelope. Like right now, every phone that you're looking at or you're holding in your hand or whatever is good enough for you to do everything, right? But yet, 6 months from now, a year from now, there's going to be a new edition because it's more faster, it's more efficient, it takes better photos, it downloads faster. And, you know, soon, at some point in the near future, within like probably a decade or so, everyone's going to probably be able to run like a validator node from their freaking cell phone, which is insane. Like, you'll be able to run a node from your phone because they're going to probably be so powerful. And it's insane, man. Like, the computational power and the things that are coming out. And yeah, it can be scary, but also, you know, great at the same time. So
true. I don't know if you saw that. There's that one protocol, Moss. What they did that I really like with NFT, where you could store your token into your NFTs and kind of have your whole wallet as an NFT. And I feel like that's pretty cool too. I haven't seen them really publicize it really well, but I feel like that's a really powerful thing to do with NFT as well. So yeah, it's kind of like you can even make that NFTs, and like, instead of like selling all your token each by their own, you can just sell your old wallet on the public too. No. So that's pretty cool. That I really like. But I see Umstead there. I don't know if Umstead want to talk, but for some reason I don't see him.
Do you see? He came up and then came back down. I'll invite him up. Yeah, I like Homestead. Yeah. Homestead's he's an NFT DJ. But shout out to everyone I see in here, that like a lot of familiar faces. you know, that I've seen around the over the last couple of years. So shout out to all you peeps. Happy Friday, good vibes. Hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah, Umstead is back up. That's what's up, Umstead.
Hey fam, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Just it's raining where I am right now. I'm in the car. I'm like, yo, please stop raining.
Dude, it's been raining here so much too. Like floods everywhere and stuff, dude. It's like nonstop raining. It's just annoying. Like, I swear, since I've been in New York, we had maybe a day or two there where it wasn't raining the entire time, and that was kind of nice, even though it was still cold. And then I came home. We actually had a couple of nice days, but it's like the last like 2-3 days. It's just been that cold rain. Kind of, you know, it's like, come on, man, like let the sun come out, let me vibe, you know. I don't want to be sitting in my house all day.
Because last year with NFT NYC, what we did after each event, we literally like walk all over New York last year doing NFT NYC and like having fun and stuff, but this year we couldn't do none of that because of the rain. But we still make it work, right? We made it work, so that's good.
Yeah, man. So for anyone out there that doesn't know, like I obviously love NFTs, but yeah, I spend a lot of time like in the communities, and sadly, I'm not a Discord person. Don't, you know, I'm in every Discord. I'm maxed out. Every time I want to join a new one, I need to delete one. I spend really no time in Discord. I just can't do it. I'm a Telegram guy, but I love NFTs. I think NFTs, and I don't recommend meme coins, but I think of them as more retail, right? Because it's like, most people have to like paycheck to paycheck, right? So even if you are investing in some of these crypto assets, especially the bigger ones, like, I mean, really, I'm not trying to deter you from investing in like Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, but like, think about it. If you barely have much money to throw at it, like how much more is that going to turn into, you know? But like an NFT or a meme coin, I get the allure of it. I don't recommend it as an investment tool. Like, none of the stuff I ever say is financial advice, but I understand it from a retail perspective, because it's like, there's way, yeah, you can basically get wrecked, but you also somehow hit luck, right? It's like, if you minted the sloth, or if you minted the bad kid, or even how you got into the bad kid early, like really, if your entire investment portfolio was just bad kids during the bear market, like you would have been reaping so many rewards. Like you would have been outperforming literally anyone basically in crypto.
I think Wolfman, you know, can buy an island right now.
Yeah. that's what I'm saying, right? Like, if you're like, oh, I'm gonna get 100 of these back when it was like $40 or so, you're like, I got enough to do that. Like, you would be probably, well, you'd be like a millionaire now basically. And yeah, you would be. And but that's the thing about it. It's just like, you know, it's the allure of it. I get it. Trust me. I get it. But I always look at it like I'm losing all my money that I throw at NFTs or meme coins. I have a problem with selling. Like, I bought this stupid meme coin the other day and it's 16x. It was on Solana, and now it's like back to where I bought it from. If I'd have sold it, I could have like 16x. And you're probably like, you're an idiot. And I was just like, yeah, whatever.
I know it's hard to say. People that like have these like fallacies that tell themselves like, oh, I can time things, right? That's super hard to do. And like, even when they do it, like, it's actually like statistically by accident, right? And you know, and I say the same thing, like, oh, not financial advice, right? But like, what I see is that when people are doing investing, like this, sometimes it's just not what I would consider sufficient thought going into what is the strategy, right? Because you have to take into consideration, like, well, what are the funds that I'm going to have to, you know, to do investing, and what's my risk tolerance, and then try to understand the things that you're putting money into, right? And if you're looking at this, like you're saying, Austin, like, oh, well, I'm assuming that this is all basically lost, right? That's a good, healthy perspective to have, because you're saying, well, you know what, I'm investing money that I can afford to lose, right? And I'm already considering it gone, so anything that I get that's not lost is just going to make me feel better, right? And like in the case of sloths, so like, oh, you know, immense of sloths, because I think I found out about it in the space you were doing, Homestead, like 15 minutes before. Like, oh yeah, nobody's been talking about this. Like, yeah, it's kind of on purpose. And I looked at it really, really quick. Like, oh, this is a new connection, you know, to Celestia, and you know, it's minting with 1T, the first mover advantage here, and like 400,000 people on the white list, and one mint max. Like, this is like a perfect storm here. So I like grabbed my, you know, my TIA staking rewards and burn over and mint some sloths, right? So, and you know, it's like, oh, well, it worked out pretty well. But yeah, I don't know. It's like to me, going back to the point, I think that people, at least from my observation, seem to be missing some critical steps in investing, which is like, hey, what is your actual objective? What are you trying to do?
Right. Oh yeah, like this part will be financial advice. It has nothing to do with buying and selling, but like you need to have goals. Like I recommend a journal or something, and it's like, and you do exactly what you journalize. Like, you can't deviate from it. So if you're like, okay, I'm gonna sell whatever it is. Let's just use a random example. Like let's say Bitcoin. You're like, I'm selling Bitcoin no matter what once it hits 100K. Like no matter what. Like you just like, all right, I'm selling it because your journal told you to do that because you do this. You journalize your thoughts and your processes, like when you're in a clear mind, you're just chilling or whatever. You have like your goals because you can set your goals up. Okay, this is how much I'll make. This is blah blah blah, and then you do exactly what you're gonna do. Like one of the things that I do as I don't want to call it an investor, but just like my idea is, I look at assets that I really like, and I'm like, I just look at it not from a USD perspective, but I look at it from an accumulation perspective. I'm like, okay, I want X amount of these tokens, X amount of those tokens, X amount of these tokens. And then once I hit my goal, then I revisit it and say, okay, do I want to keep buying more of it? Do I want to keep just auto compounding my rewards, or do I want to go to the next thing? And then I have like, okay, well, you know, I just do that like over and over and over. And I try to get positions in whatever assets there are. And then, you know, I try not to look at the USD value. Full disclosure, if I wasn't like a content creator, I wouldn't know what the prices of anything is because it helps with the psyche, like you're saying, because humans are very emotional. Like that's the thing that you can look at everything, right? Like why do politicians and campaigns, like it's always based off of fear and you know, some racial tension or religious tension. It's always because they know that you're emotional and that's what you're going to go for. And people don't think, right? Like when people get emotional, no matter if it's a good emotion, a bad emotion, or whatever emotion, you generally don't make the right decisions in whatever thing that you're doing, whether you're driving, you're with your family, your loved ones, you're investing or whatever it is. And when money gets involved, it's even expedites it. It exacerbates your feelings and your beliefs. And, you know, this space, you could be like, I'm the most intelligent human being on planet Earth because you got in early and something rises up. And then you could have the opposite. You're like, man, I'm a moron. I'm an idiot. Like, so the psyche of it is very, and it gets like exacerbated. It's so fastly in crypto because you if you go read like stock market analysis on a price, like Tesla, for example, it's like, oh, Tesla's dumping. It's down 12% in the quarter. It's like, dude, that is like a half a minute in this space. Like it could be, you know, something could be down 20% in a day in this space, or the next day it's up 30%, or, you know, over the month it's up 45%. Like that's like nothing in crypto. Like, so if you're riding those emotions, you are legitimately taking years off your life. You're going to just, yeah, I would not recommend it. I would recommend just trying to, if you are going to invest, like just try to like maybe accumulate what you believe. Like you're like, I'm just trying to collect, whether it's an NFT, like I like bad kids. I want to get X amount of them. Kind of go for that. Don't really necessarily worry about the price, you know, because it'll just drive you bonkers, dude. Like it will drive you insane. And I do not recommend it. It's just, yeah, you're not going to get sleep. So
yeah, it's legitimately taking years off your life like when you do that. I'll share a little bit kind of about my strategy too, because I think that's good, you know, a good way like for people to make their own decisions, right? Like, so I like my philosophy on this is, and I said I've been in crypto like since 2013, and like, you know, we were mining Litecoin and I don't know if you know, you could dual mine Litecoin and Dogecoin, right? But like, and I've been watching the space, and my philosophy has been like, you know, I think that this is very, very important technology that, in, you know, once you're in for multiple cycles, it really doesn't matter what you bought it at. As long as you're doing and Bitcoin and other kinds of things, you make changes when the cycle happens. But like, I bought Bitcoin at $127, right? And, you know, that's like, well, you know, people look, well, how are you at least $70,000 right now, right? But, you know, even now, I think that one of my beliefs is that, oh, well, as the cycles happen, the halvings happen, and all these things, like Bitcoin's going to be many, many multiples of what the current price is. So why would you try to time the price if you're looking at this in long term, right? If your strategy is long term, right, then you just have to hold on to something. And like you said, like accumulate, I'm doing a ton of that. Accumulate this, accumulate that, you know, whatever I think is good technology or helping the ecosystem.
Yeah. So when I graduated college, like the economy was the absolute worst. Like it was really hard to find, this is back in 2009. And it was really hard to find jobs. Like it was like, you were either overqualified or underqualified or whatever. So I was always a really good poker player. I read like every book and it was just something that was just fun for me. So I took it serious. Like I legit read like every book. I worked at it. I journaled. I was a math guy. So I knew the numbers. I knew the percentages of nearly every single scenario when I was in the hand and like my expected value. And I always looked at every hand as a long-term outcome. So I knew someone chasing their flush draw had like a 28 to 30% chance of depending on what the scenario is. So you're not meant to win every hand. Sometimes that person that's drinking or whatever is playing like an idiot is going to win, and you can't get mad. You can't be like, oh, screw this, because that's the type of scenario that you want to make money, right? Because like the casino, if they were only 30% favorites, they would never be in existence. Like they're in it to win. So it's like the same philosophy that I had. It was just like, all right, some days won't be my day, but I know if I keep putting my money in good spots, that in the long run, I'm going to be up money. And like, I literally lived like for 5 years off of doing that. But even that, like you're at a casino, and it's really easy to go out in the main, you know, the games or whatever, and play by chance. And I would sometimes, you have to have the mental fortitude to do this. And it's kind of like the same philosophy in this space. Like if you're like, look, I'm up this much money, I'm taking that no matter what. This is how I would be pretty successful at the casino. Is like I would take whatever I had, put it in one of my pockets. Whatever it was, a lot of times if I had a jacket, I'd zip it in there. And I said to myself, no matter what, I'm not touching this because it's up no matter what. And then I'll take this other money, so call it the fun money, house money, and do whatever with it. And then try to make more or whatever, you know, go spend money, go have fun or whatever with it. And it's kind of like the same thing in this space. Like if you're like, oh, I got into Bitcoin early and you believe in it, it's like, well, imagine if you just took one of them or two of them or three of them, whatever you had. And you're like, no matter what, I'm just not selling this. And then you put like an expiration on it. You're like 2030, 2035. And no matter what, at that point in time, you're just like, I'm going to sell it. Or hopefully by then, I'm sure it will be. You'll be able to just like legitimately like store it in the bank, and the bank will allow you to like take money out against it, and you can loan. And then it's like not a taxable event or whatever, you know, whatever the scenario is. But that's how you kind of have to think about it in this space. And I'm just a long-term believer in this stuff. Like, I like you were saying earlier, I think about stuff as like a loss. It's because, you know, my work ethic, my entire life, like I built up a spot in my life where it's kind of like, okay, I can mess around in crypto, but it's not the end all be all. Like, I feel like if it went to zero, it absolutely would be awful. But I feel like I have enough skill set to go work some shitty job the rest of my life, like most normal human beings do. But I'm not going to sit on the sideline and not indulge in crypto and just hope for the best, you know, kind of spray and pray. And hopefully that I think what's great about crypto is that you can say you invest in 100 of them. Again, none of this is like take it to word, but like if you invest in 100 of them, say 97 of them like don't succeed, maybe those three of them just like outweigh the negative of the other 97 of them. And that's kind of my philosophy, like the thing that I'm doing. And yeah, I mean, I imagine people back in the day that had the opportunity to throw some of their paycheck into like Microsoft or Amazon or Google or Apple and all this other stuff, but yet they weren't, and they were buying scratch off tickets at the lottery and buying a pack of smokes and drinking beer and all that. But it was like, you know, you little at a time, right? It's like if you do that, and one thing is pretty much guaranteed is technology is going to probably outlive all of us. So it's like, where's that going, right? Like it's just going to keep evolving, and hopefully we get lucky and we pick some right winners, so when we're old we can kind of just chill out and not have to work in the hamster wheel or whatever it is, you know. It's just kind of, because I don't think that's how life was designed, is for us to have to live paycheck to paycheck and not be able to afford anything. And sadly the policies and everything that was going on while we had nothing to do with it kind of wrecked us. So, you know, like you'll own nothing and be happy about it, but that's not really how it's supposed to be. And I'm hoping that, you know, a little hopium or whatnot, that crypto allows all of us in this call to, you know, be financially free and just free from the hamster wheel, you know, because I think that's how life was designed, where, you know, you got to work. You can't just get things for free, but we're also not destined to, like, you literally need to be that 75-year-old still working because you can't afford to, like, put food on the table if you didn't. Like, that's not how life is designed. So, rant's over.
I don't know. You're good. No worries. But, yeah, so what's your favorite thing about NFT in a sense, if you were to say?
What's your question?
What's your favorite thing about NFTs? If you'd like to put something together.
Kind of the culture of it. It's like, from the outside perspective, you know, people would be like, oh, that's stupid. And it's like the whole thing of it. It's like, well, don't tell, I'll do what I want to do. And I think that's the beauty of crypto. It's like very somewhat like libertarian. It's like, you know, I'll do what I want to do. You do what you want to do, but don't tell me what to do. You know, it's like, it's kind of like NFTs, but no. And also, you know, I always think of NFTs as like a one-time membership, right? Like, you know, people go and spend $10,000 for a freaking, you know, country club membership, and you really don't get much out of it except for, well, you go and it's like you feel cool or something. But you go there, you still got to pay the green fees. You don't get like discounts on the food. And guess what? It's December 31st, 2024. You need to renew it for 2025, or else you're not allowed in anymore. You know what I mean? But like, an NFT, it's like you buy an NFT and then you're in this club forever. It's like your lifetime membership. So yeah, I think NFTs are awesome, dude. And again, I always visualize it like it's just a donation. I'm losing all my money doing it. So it feels better because it's like that many of them are worth nothing. But it's like, but again, like we were saying earlier, it's cool that like we're getting airdrops and stuff, because then it's like, okay, well, now, you know, I don't feel as bad about spending all this money on NFTs all the time. So
yeah, when you touch on this, that's why I like what I'm trying to do with the Geki and itself, right? So the Geki was a free mint, right? So all sides, like the like myself and like the people behind the project, we didn't receive any fun from this. So it was like just a free mint and like an experiment. We didn't expect it to go that high, or like all that hype that happened to it. But like, there's that one thing with me, right? Like, I've been in the space for like 2 years and some change, and I always wanted to build something in this space, no matter what. So thankfully, I was able like to gather up some people together. And we find like some great people to work with, some great dev and some great front end. So we're able to launch kind of like the only active like NFTFi. I would say the only one NFTFi experience on Stargaze. So right now, to Atlas DAO, which is like the main project behind the Geckies and stuff, we launch a peer-to-peer NFT loan on Stargaze. So which means you can use your NFT as a collateralized to get crypto. So if you're on a bad kid, you're on a slot, or any blue chip NFT, you can request a loan, and anybody can fund a loan for you. And we also had like that raffle, you know, platform. So today, the Squid Cup, they just posted a slot. I can't say the word properly. Slot, you know, I mean
sloth.
Yeah, sloth. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, no, it's a tough word to say, dude. It's sloth. Yeah, it's a tough word.
So they put it up for a raffle, and in a matter of like couple, I think it didn't take an hour, maybe like a couple minutes, maybe 2 hours or something like that, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe I might be wrong, but it didn't take long. So they put a slot there. And anybody can go enter the raffle. And I think the raffle they had were like 1,500 stars, something like that. And anybody can participate in and like try the luck to win a slot. And funny enough, the wallet who won it only bought like one raffle. So
was that the bad kid one? Or was I saying
for the bad kid? Yeah, we had a bad kid like maybe like the first week we launched. But today the Squid Cup put a slot there. And now today again, like one wallet won, right? That wallet only bought like one raffle, but that doesn't mean that's what's gonna happen all the time. They're just like that wallet got lucky, or another wallet got lucky today, and they only bought like one ticket. No, so that was pretty. That was like, what, just 1,500 stars in the one.
Yeah, track. Dude. I like it. It's good vibes. Like,
it's good vibe, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's
I like cool. it, bro. Like, yeah, why not, right? It's like you get to enter. I mean, that's why people buy the dumb lottery tickets, right? Like, you know, people are like, you go to the gas station or whatever, and people are sitting there buying. I mean, I don't recommend. I'll do it in crypto, but I don't play the lottery. My wife's like, the Powerball is $1 billion. Let's play it. I'm like, no, I'm not playing it. It's like, because I've worked in that side of things. It's just like, man, they have the best gig, right? It's like, if you, all the money generally that you buy the lottery tickets already taxed a bunch of times, who knows how many times. And then it's like, oh, well, if you win, it's going to be taxed again. It's like, dude, it's such a racket, bro. Like, you guys got it good. He's just like, you're just taking our heads, man. Like, we can never get ahead. You just want our money for everything. And it's just like, yeah. And it's just like, you know what I mean? But it's just like, come on, man. But in this space, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm all for it. Like, I think it would be cool every chain had that. You can, even if it was just like, you know, oh, you buy whatever the token is, you put one Osmo in this pool, and like the whatever the total, like winner kind of gets all, or like the, some of the fees go to the protocol to help them build something or whatever. I would do it. Like, I'm all for it, bro. Like, everyone in this space is kind of a gambler anyways. Like, one way or another, we're all kind of gambling. So it's like, you're just feeding into our I don't want to call it addiction, but yeah, dude. Like,
and also, yeah, I feel you too. And also, like, with this platform in a sense, and that we enjoy, like, the thing we build, like, we're funded to us in a sense. So like the dev and like the contributor and stuff, so all that, like, we're built to us. And that's one thing that I feel like I'm pretty proud of. Like, we got this group of people together and to keep building from there. But like, there's also like other cool feature that we're working on that will be added over time. But the general goal about the platform, there's also a fee involved. So like, every time someone got a raffle, like, you pay a fee, and this fee kind of like help in the sustainability of the platform. So I kind of like added that business model into it as well. But for us, this platform, there won't be a token, right? So we don't have a token. We're not planning on launching a token anytime soon. So it's kind of like the Gekis collection and Atlas NFT collection. They will be the one governing this. And as more thing we add, as more thing we build, we'll evolve on it. So the Gekis, I don't want to put a cap into that collection. So it's kind of like, no, that doesn't mean the Geki is not a DAO collection. It's more than that. It's an NFT. It's fun. The art is unique. But as like as a NFT holder, you get to do more thing with it, right? You get to participate in like in a decentralized community aspect. There's also other people in the community that we got together that will be build their own interaction with the Geki's collection. And also like we partner Chill Worlds. Hopefully you can get like a metaverse experience going on. But it's kind of like this other thing I want to do around the collection. But the most part, I just want to build like a stable community where we can like have that spirit of building thing on our own. So we don't have to go to the community pool. We don't have to go to get a grant, where together we can band together and build and have fun, right? And I mean, like, not everything has to be the community pool or like, oh my God, it's going to grant. There's a business model into everything. So hopefully that's what I'm trying to do on the Gekis and Atlas DAO. And right now, like, as time passed by, I believe we're going to be able to accomplish a lot of great things. So if you're on the Gekis, I just want to say you rock, and get ready to be part of that fun and see other things that we come around with. But I see Austin around there. Austin, we're like one of the first few dev who help with the smart contract aspect. What's up, Austin?
I like your PFP. I like your PFP, Austin, but go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, it's original, one of one. Well, yeah. But I appreciate it. Yeah, I just wanted to, what's up, guys? I wanted to hop up here and give my two cents about what you guys are talking about like the lottery tickets and stuff, like having fun with it. Whenever I'm in like 7-Eleven or something, I see someone buying like a lottery ticket and just go up to them and whisper in their ear, buy Bitcoin. and then like see how they react. I enjoy that, you know, because it's just, it's yeah, it's a pastime hobby. But but yeah, one thing I also wanted to kind of just contribute to the conversation in regards to about like NFTs, and from my perspective, is like I really enjoy like attempting to bridge the gap between people who spend 0 hours a week in the space with like the people who spend 80 plus hours a week in the space. And like one of the things I found best to help communicate like what NFTs are is like, for like first just breaking it down, it's like it's basically just a new type of file that exists, and you know, a lot of people tend to connect with that analogy, and if they don't, I then go to like another analogy of like it being this different form of technology to participate with each other. And I relate it to like back in the day before I was born or even have any memory of, when you had the carbon copy for your credit cards, where you got to like do the little carbon copy thing on the credit card to like pay for something at like a hotel. I think the best example was like on Home Alone. When
I was just about to say that, but I want to let you do your thing. I literally, the first thing when you said that, I was thinking about Kevin.
Like, yeah, that's my only
the New York one. Remember when they were like, you spent whatever, and then like today's day, like that's not even that much money. We're like, oh yeah, that's like a day out in New York now. But go ahead.
Yeah, right. No, I was just saying like that analogy of the like going from using carbon like copies of a credit card to like being able to swipe the credit card with the mag strip and then actually have transactions, you know, process and finalize, is the same analogy I would like provide an example to NFTs. It's like, okay, like, you know, we have these communities, right? You're going to be providing support to creators and like these different communities, and you should be able to have some sort of communication and transfer to be able to reward you to retain the value. So yeah, I just wanted to contribute those 2 points. Tell people who are buying lottery tickets that to buy Bitcoin without financial advice. And then, yeah.
You know, if you think about it, even the people buying the lottery tickets, they would be better like just to buy some random meme coin, because you're probably not going to win the lottery, right? But like you might win the lottery of meme coins. Like, you know, I think you probably, honestly, like jokingly aside, and again, this isn't me telling you, oh yeah, you should do this. Because I won't do it, but I guess I kind of do it. Is just like randomly buy meme coins, because it's like you have a way better ROI potential than you do with the lottery ticket, right? Like it's just, you're just basically just donating to the politicians or wherever it's going. You know, when
hopefully
you do
it's that. Going to like your school systems, but who knows, right?
Or the old, like the old.
I think it's like
and TA, it goes. I don't know what the percentage breakdown is, but majority of it does go to like the senior citizens. That's why. Pennsylvania, it's Florida and PA, but Pennsylvania, they do a really good job of like taking care of senior citizens. Like you don't basically pay any taxes on your retirement, and like there's so many there's so many programs. You come to PA, like a lot of older people from other states literally just moved to PA because it's like you get a lot, which it should be like that, honestly, bro. Like you work 30, 40 years of your life, like you shouldn't have to pay any more taxes, be left alone. Let you like go ride into the sunset, you know what I mean? Not like, hey man, like give me some more money. Like, come on, you guys got enough money. Like let me just like, you know, live the last 10, 15 years of my life on planet Earth without you bothering me, please. But
I see Adil put his hand up. What's up? Do you wanna mention something?
Oh no, I was just thinking about what they were talking about with lottery tickets, you know, with Austin and Haas there. One of the things that I think distinguishes the two is the trustless aspect of crypto, right? And so, you know, in the governments, you know, even if they're saying this is how all the money is spent, like Haas just said, like who knows where it's actually going, right? Because sometimes they say it and then you find out later that actually wasn't true, right? They're covering it up somehow, but. Like in crypto, like it's possible to do things with smart contracts where everything is enforced on chain and you see like all the transparency of this is actually what is exactly happening. Even if the odds are the same, which they aren't, because there are so fewer people in the crypto space than there are like running the national lotteries in the US, right? You know, like there's just so much more visibility. And if you like the causes where the money is going, you're like, hey, look, maybe I'll be donating to this cause. And, you know, as a added bonus, maybe I'll actually win a prize, right? And so just better.
Yeah. And like while you guys are touching on this, so one thing we are doing for a platform, right? Because since we kind of like use like our own fund as a DAO to build the platform. So early on when I was thinking about like, how do we not even monetize, how do you like keep the dev and also be able to keep funding for a contributor to keep building on this platform? One thing that we plan on doing in the next, maybe the next hours and so. And so we plan on using the tool that we use to generate some kind of like fund so we can keep building on our own, so we don't have to go anywhere else. So in the next hours or so, we're planning on launching like a big raffle, you could say. So there's going to be about 25 geckies on there, which mean 25 wallet would be able to win a geckies in a sense. But we are adding some kind of like twist into it where the top two wallet automatically, the top two wallet with the most tickets automatically win a bad kid, plus the angry parent representation. So we partner with the angry parent where like they specifically design it for these two bad kids that will be going for the top two wallet with the most tickets. And we also have prizes for like the top 20 wallets. So let's say the third one wallet with the most tickets will win a BitKids. The fourth wallet will win a Pixel Wizard. The fifth one will win Pixel Squid. And we also have like other NFTs, maybe like some chicken, some wet chicken, some coping punk, digit NFT, and a bunch of other things that we'll be having for the top wallet. And also we're planning on partnering with a bunch of new NFT projects that are launching in the next few days, weeks, to give whitelist to these people, who anybody who participate in that raffle. So it's kind of like when I was thinking about the long-term aspect of this park.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, Adil? Yeah, you want to say something? No?
Do you have a local community for them to better understand your project? This is my question.
Oh yeah, so I'll get to that. Let me just finish what I mentioned after I'll get to that. And also like when I was thinking about the platform we're building, since we're not doing any raise or anything of that sort, we wanna like find a way, a perfect balance where we can keep building but also have fun and do all of this thing. So which means if when you participate in raffle, you have a chance of winning a geckies. But if you're well, or like you got a bunch of stars, you wanna help Atlas DAO and like the geckies to keep building and stuff, you can, you know what I mean, try to be the top two and win the bad kids. And if not, you're the top three, top four, top five, you win a big kids, a Pixel Squid, a Pixel Wizard, and a bunch of other prizes for like anybody who participate in the raffle. And keep in mind, most of the fund will be used for like to keep building Atlas DAO and add a ton of cool new feature. So I kind of like that process because we build our own thing or on new feature, and we're using our new feature in a different way to show that it's possible to build stuff and keep going. So you don't have to like go crazy and like launching a token just for like raising fund and stuff.
Jacob, did Adil ask if there was a local community building out the application? Is that what his question was?
No, I don't think so. Let me ask again. Adil, what did you mention? Because I think I might have not understand what you said. Adil, are you here?
If that was his question, I was just going to let him know that there is a public Discord for Atlas DAO that has all the active, you know, comms going on for you guys over there. And that I'm pretty sure it's easy to find that Discord link. But yeah. I did also want to add to what Crypto, I think it's Crypto or Die. Is that your name? Crypto Oracle. He was saying that, you know, it is now possible to verify things on chain, in contrast to, like, you know, the lottery. But I did want to, like, point out, like, the keyword is possible, right? Like, if we are going to realize that vision, then we're going to need the interfaces and the tools that let the person who spends 0 hours a week in this space analyze the data that exists on chain. Because without that, you know, we're in the same boat. It's like, if it's like my grandma should be able to determine which projects are funded by which venture capitalist funds with, like, no effort whatsoever, right? And that's just, like, a very, very extreme example. But, like, you know, we need to have the same analytic tools that all these big institutions has as individuals, or else we're going to, you know, be playing the game without, like, you know, like, it's going to be the same thing that we see now with traditional institutions having this, like, crazy gap between the individuals and the institutions. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of work to do. And I think, like, you know, a fun little idea, you know, it's like kind of just like throwing a jab at, like, you know, venture capitals is like, you know, we need a map of zones, but for all the VCs that have funded all these different projects, so we, like, you know, track all of these wallets that are the VCs to, like, hold accountability and, like, have a public forum for those things, right? Just so that we can protect our energy and protect our value, because, like, the communities of these NFTs collections are what's creating the value of this technology. Like, the technology could be running in a fucking room, excuse my language, like, by itself. And if no one's using it, then, you know, there's no value to it. And on the other hand, if everyone's using it, everyone's happy about it, everyone's, like, you know, building on top of it, then, you know, that's where the value comes from. And if we're just, like, blindly aping into these projects, communities, and everything, and we don't really have access or awareness to, like, you know, the distributions and, you know, who the incentives and the alignment, then it's going to, you know, we're going to be in the same boat that we are now. But yeah, I just wanted to add that to what Crypto Oracle was saying.
Yeah, great point, man. You're always on point. But one thing, like, what do you think about what I mentioned, like, that big raffle, the way we're going about it, to kind of, like, use our own tool, to kind of, like, I won't say the word, it's not a raising fund, it's just, like, a way to kind of, like, have a leeway to keep building and stuff.
I love it. It's the model of what crypto is supposed to be. I had a business partner when I first started this about 2 years ago who we weren't able to really, like, I guess, you know, communicate, like, or like get on the same page of how business models and viable business models exist within this Web3 space, because it's fundamentally new. It's like, so, like, what you were explaining with, like, you know, creative incentives to first and foremost use the platform that then drives the revenue model in a transparent and accountable way to then create that, like, closed loop of value to kind of creating more value. It's something that is an example for the entire interchain now to, like, you know, move by. And, you know, I'm definitely honored to be a part of, like, you know, Atlas DAO for that time and be able to contribute and learn for myself. Right. And, like, you know, we're all leveraging stuff that other people have already built and exists and making it, like, you know, things that are for our own. So, you know, one thing that I also would like to add to that is, like, not only if you lose, like, if you do a scratch off, right? Like, if your mom gets you 5 scratch off tickets for Christmas or whatever, and then you scratch them off and you don't win anything, right? You just throw them away, right? But with, when you're doing stuff like this with Atlas down the raffles, now, you know, there's an index, there's a historical transaction of every single person that's purchased every single ticket ever, winner or loser. And now it creates an incentive or an opportunity, I should say, for every single NFT collection that has seen a token on the platform to, like, incentivize people to buy tickets, right? Because then you could do, like, an airdrop to everyone who didn't win as, like, a loser. It's like, you're a loser, you win. Like, that's, like, you know,
you're touching on my mind right there. That's why, like, one thing that I'm, like, really pushing for is kind of, like, if you're a new collection, right, we can work with you. So I already reached out to 2 new collections that are launching on Stargaze.
Hey, Toto,
what you could do, you do a whitelist. Wait, what happened to us?
No, it was cut. No, go ahead. I apologize.
No, you're good. You could do a whitelist to everybody who participated in the raffle, right? So that's these kind of thing, or like you mentioned, they're on chain forever. So at any point, people can just do a snapshot and be like, these people were active users of Stargaze, active users of this platform. Maybe I should reward them with something. And that's like I'm trying to do the whitelist. So if you're launching a new project and you're trying to look for like an active user, you can just, let me just whitelist these people who participate in this raffle. Or you can do other fun thing too. So the womb is open, right? And also like one thing I want to add in this, I want to add like some kind of like a way when we track everybody in the platform, a way to kind of like add XP kind of thing you see in this platform. Like the more, if you buy a raffle and so you get XP and you can use it to redeem certain item that we have and stuff. But those are like long-term thing. But there's other thing around that to reward active user in a sense. Not like a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, it's cool what the seeing like, you know, raffles and NFT loans on chain or Stargaze when this time it's hard to time the market, but it's pretty good timing, I must say, for that to exist. But you know, I think that, you know, in a broader perspective, a lot of like what I love about Stargaze is like, okay, you got a bunch of like really, really subjective art, right? That exists on chain. And it's all being powered by this really, really dope, useful, verifiable technology that is the Cosmos SDK stack. Now, the use case that Stargaze implemented is so, I would say trivial that it can be applied to like applications that are the polar opposite of degen culture, to where, you know, like for example, the launch pad, right? Being able to have a minter factory and a vendor factory handle the params that go into creating collections and really compartmentalizes that workflow into like, you know, this suite of smart contracts. Like that can be applied to so many different like real world asset scenarios, like collateralization, all these different things, right? And to find the flaws, to work out the kinks in the systems by being a degen and by degening with it, is is really cool. And it's a filter for the people who, you know, have that bias towards like what value is. Like no one individual knows what value is. It takes at least two people to come up with value. So
yeah, it's a collective group. I mean, back in the day, I remember like everyone used to be in those Beanie Babies, you know, like, I mean, still people buy Beanie Babies. And then you can see all kinds of things. I watched this like documentary on, I don't know, like fads or whatever it was. And, you know, there's Pez dispensaries and people collect those. People put a price on things, right? Like, that's what I like about crypto, is people objectively come to some sort of conclusion. And I'm always for the markets deciding things and not someone else deciding what we can and can't do. And that's why I always like crypto. But what I was saying about you guys earlier, if you guys haven't watched it, I think it's a movie. I think it is a movie, but it's based off a true story. It's the guy that essentially found a loophole in the lottery tickets or the scratch off tickets, and being like a secondhand winner, and he found a way that you like literally can't lose. It was based off of like how much you actually bought or whatever. It's a really good movie. I highly recommend it. I wish I knew the name, but it made me think of it when you guys were talking about like you just get the scratch offs and just throw them in the garbage and all that. Well, back in the day, there was a guy that really intelligent individual figured a way that like you could like literally never lose. And he was buying like he got like a whole group, like a group of people, and they were just like buying all these tickets all over the place. And then they would just essentially always win. And I'm talking about winning a lot of money too.
It's Jerry and Marge Go Large, I think.
Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about? That movie?
I just Googled it, but yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. Yeah, you're good. I'm doing too many things to be Googling shit while I'm talking, but no, it's really good. I highly recommend to watch it. It's really good, man. It's just funny. I was just thinking about that. But that's what it's about, man. Finding loopholes. Yeah.
By the way, I see Keenan here. What's up, Keenan? I don't know.
Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up, bro?
Yo, yo, I just wanted to say hi. I'm a bit sick, by the way. Sorry for my voice. Hello again. This is being very good so far. And I just wanted to mention another opportunity with the Gekis holders. You know, with the I think we didn't mention the collaboration with Cleo Medes, right, Jacob?
Yeah, 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 we didn't yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you planning to?
Yeah, so, yeah, I can mention it. So basically, what the Cleo Medes do is they're doing like a airdrop campaign, you could say, for the Validor node. So if you want to get keys and you have stars and you stick with them, they will be airdropping you the token, which is Cleo. I think it's a one stars. Every one stars you stake, you get 0.25 of the Gekis of the token. So if you want to stake with them, that's a way you could go about it. And also, like, there's one other thing that I mentioned too, with the Chill Walkers. So they have a Chill World going on. They have a main going on Stargaze as well. And we'll be working with them to create some kind of like metaverse experience for Gekis older. And also, every world that they build after this, every Geki older will have access to all these worlds. So hopefully we'll work with them, and hopefully they can ship some great thing, and we can have some fun on the metaverse with them. So that in the world, you could say, online. So that would be pretty cool. And as for like the Gekis feature, people are asking like, what's next? What's going on? What's gonna happen over time? So all I'm trying to do with the Gekis, it's like have fun, build a culture, build a great community, have other cool people that I know and respect in this space. Hopefully bring them into the Gekis and have them contribute to it. Where like, if you're on the Gekis, you're trying to build something in Cosmos or anywhere else, myself and our team will find you the help you need to build. And also kind of build that separate culture where what I've always trying to push over time is like, you can build anything you set your mind to. You don't have to go do the wrong way, in a sense. There's no wrong way. Like, I respect everybody. Like, if you get grant and all that, there's a way of building with just you want to, and like you will find the community where anything that you think we can think of will help you. We'll find the dev needed. If we don't have the fund, well, we'll figure another way to get it happen. And also with what we are building and kind of like drive will value on the Gekis and Atlas DAO and Atlas NFT. So basically, we're building. So you've seen what we launched already with the Atlas app. We have a long web, we have some plan over there, and kind of like add all of that around a central, like we're going to have only two collections, the Atlas DAO and Gekis. All these things we're building, this collection will be in the middle, and they will drive value to it over time. So it's kind of like, if you want to get keys, you want to build a verse or like anything else, we help you build it and you drive value onto this collection. So it's kind of unique because the collection is not big. It's only like 5,000, right? And we still haven't decided on the Atlas NFT, so it's not big. We're not going to have a token. So which means all of this value will drive back to the NFTs. And for me, like the biggest value that I'm seeing is the community that I'm seeing around the Geki being formed in just 1 week. We already have like 8 Gekis older stepping in, and like they want to be an ambassador for the project. They want to push your project forward, you know what I mean? And you guys are free, man, too. So like that's basically what I have in mind, like with the future. And you can just look at our action. You don't have to believe the words. Like I've been there for a long time. I'm not leaving, and I'm here to build real value, not like puns in or make and things that cannot last for a long time. Everything that I put my effort into, that's because I believe they're going to be there for a long time, and I see a vision where someone else don't. And that's basically all I'm going to be doing for going forward. Keep building, keep putting my sweat equity into it. And over time, everybody would diss me, everybody who didn't believe in the vision. You're not gonna be left alone, you're just gonna be there, and like I'm always open for everybody. And we're gonna keep building, you know what I mean? And have fun too. Like the most important thing, have fun. I never had fun before until the Geckies. It's always been like a structure. I'm doing this, I'm doing this. But the Geckies bringing the fun back into my life in a sense. Like I never did like meme and stuff in my whole life until the Geckies. Like you can see me on Telegram always like posting some cool meme, you know what I mean? But yeah, so the Geckies and Atlas Style, I think we're all one now, and we're gonna keep driving value to it. And one other thing is like the Atlas DAO team, we have a great team of like dev that were really great, not like terrible dev, but that were really great. And the goal is kind of like myself, keep them around, keep building that contributor list. Like if you're on a Discord, you can see a big list of contributor. Keep building that list. And as a Unisense, we'll just have fun, build value, keep building, and if you and make it work. And if you're on the Geckies, you'll be part of that club and have more fun, keep building more fun, and do other things together. And if you're part of that community, you have a word, right? You have a say. So make sure to reach out to other people, reach out to other people that don't have a Geckies and tell them you don't get a Gecky, or if you don't have a Gecky, be involved, you know what I mean? And be loud. Because one thing I see with NFT that I'm going to keep mentioning in every space, if you have a great base of community of involved people on a project, what happened? A lot of other projects want to have that other project. So what are they going to do? They're going to want to do airdrop. They're going to want to do other thing for you in a sense. They're going to want to be involved with your project because they see that base of active user. So if you're on the Geckies, that's the most important thing you should do. Let's have an active user, either on Twitter, on Discord, Telegram, or everywhere else. And I'm telling you, over time, more projects we want to be involved with the Geckies and Atlas DAO and help us build real value, not Panzinomic. And I hate Panzinomic. And that's why for the past 2 years, I've been building on my own. And even though I had a lot of opportunity to do other things, but I'm here for the long term. And I'm building a brand on Geckies and Atlas DAO. And I'm telling you, it's gonna be more than just Web3. I have vision for like with Web2 and stuff that I'm not gonna share yet. But this is the beginning, and everybody who's in this journey with me so far. So don't underestimate a founder willingness to build no matter the circumstances, no matter what happened. And I'm telling you, you'd be surprised to see what happened this year, this month, and the next years to go. Because I'm telling you, I don't know what to give up, and I will never give up until I see Atlas DAO and Geckies and everything that I launch at the top, even if it mean I don't get paid, even if it mean that I have to do some sacrifices in the sense you could see it. But yeah, I'm here for the long term. I know that's a big speech, but yeah, that's a little bit about like my thought process on this whole thing. It's more than NFTs. It's a movement. It's a movement of people who want to build real things. So if you're here to build Panzinomic, you don't have to stick around. You can just leave. I don't mind. We're building real value here. And that's what I'm here for, you know, not just Web3, Web2 and stuff. And I'm just pretty excited about these people that we got, like this ambassador that we have right now that are willing to step up. We have like Kingdom right here is one of the ambassadors. Like I'm not paying Kingdom in a sense, right? He's just willing because he have NFTs and like our Geckies, let's be involved. And I appreciate you, Kingdom, for stepping up. And like there's other contributor there, not contributor, I mean ambassadors there also. That would be helping. And if you want to get keys and you're listening, be involved, man. That's all I'm asking. Nothing less, nothing more. And the Atlas DAO team and the Geckies team will do the rest and we'll do our best. I'm not promising 100x, 1000x, 1 billion x, All I can do for you guys is kind of like myself and like everybody that I can rally on at last, that I will do our best to build something unique, have fun, and keep providing value to you. Yeah, so if that's something that sounds fun to you, be involved. And you don't even have to get a Gecky, so you don't even have to get an Atlas NFT on that launch in the future. Just be involved and let's build real value. But yeah, so that's like my spiel. Let me just end it there. I feel like we've been going for so long, so maybe we should end it sometime. What do you think, Cosmos? Us?
Yeah, man, I'm just vibing, bro. Like, I'm just doing some work and just chilling. It is Friday. It's good vibes. I had a good time. Like, I think I'm down to do something like this. I don't know, every week, maybe every week, every Friday, but like every couple Fridays or something.
Oh, just let me know. I'm down, man. I'm down.
Yeah, we can get it more organized because it was kind of, and then also like I was on desktop and I randomly accidentally, because I didn't realize you can actually start a Twitter space now on desktop. And I bumped it when I was like scrolling through. And then it started the space, and I'm like, damn.
Wait, you can?
You can host and stuff, but I don't recommend it because there's like a delay. Like, if I'm on my cell phone or my mobile phone and you're on desktop, there will be a delay. It's not like you and I are actually having a conversation. You'll be like late to hearing me, and it's not there yet, but it is an option for people to do it. I don't recommend it because you're going to have issues like up the wazoo if you try to do it. You know, on desktop. But no, in all seriousness, like, it would be kind of cool to do this because I'm getting more involved anyhow. I know this has been more about like Stargaze, but Orion Chain's one of my babies and we're gonna have NFTs soon, and like, so I'm trying to cross pollinate and have some fun over there as well and get artists involved. And yeah, I really do like supporting NFT communities. I would love to be a part of all of them and devote as much time as possible. But, you know, sadly, there's just not enough time in the day. I can only do so much. And yeah, in all seriousness, I legit have to put myself on timeouts with NFTs because I'll get on like a 3-hour rabbit hole and I'll be like, damn it, I just lost out on 3 hours that I was supposed to do X, Y, and Z task. Now I got to do that. And Now it's 12:30, 1 o'clock at night because I just wasted 3 hours staring at eye candy JPEGs, you know. And but no, like, I think what you guys are doing is awesome. I'm all for the lottery thing. Maybe there's somehow we can implement that over on a ride chain once we get everything going too. It'd be kind of fun because I would participate in it. You know, some of my staking rewards randomly just throw it into, you know, trying to win some NFTs or whatever else sort of rewards or incentives that are going on. And yeah, because who doesn't like winning things, right? Like, it's so cool. Like, I want to, I was probably, I know you, Oracle did too. I think I seen your post. We won tickets to Permissionless out in Salt Lake City in beginning of October. I think it's like end of the first week or beginning of the second week of October. But it's always nice to win things, you know, even if it's not a crazy United States dollar value or something. It's just fun to win stuff. So I'm all good. But yeah, someone had their hand up. I guess not anymore. But I did want to thank everyone for tuning in and like vibing. And I hope you guys got some fun and maybe some educational content, because at the beginning we're a little bit nerdy, but it's all good. Can always reach out to me. One thing with me is I get back to everyone. I take it serious. Like, I love this space. I love helping people. You know, if the favor gets returned some way one day, awesome. If not, whatever. But yeah, I'm always here. Probably in this space, probably too much. You know, I'm trying to, as the weather's breaking here and getting nicer, I'm trying to have a outside of the Matrix life a little bit more. So, but anyways, man, it's been fun. Jacob, nice seeing you. I forgot to tell you, my wife's like, oh, who are you doing a space with? I was like, Jacob. She's like, the driver from New York. And she was laughing. She's like, she said something about in the that club that we were in. She's like, hey, it's the driver from or our driver's here.
Funny enough, guys. So I was driving everybody in New York. Basically.
Yeah, and he's a good driver. Like, he was fitting his SUV into very tight quarters that I probably wouldn't have been at as ambitious, but you kind of have to be when you're in New York. Like a parking spot is like premium. It's like a premium. If you could find one, good for you, because you're in, especially when it's downpouring, because it's all it did the first couple of days, and you're doing a good job. But no, serious, man, I can't wait to come back again, kick it with you. New York was a lot of fun. I haven't been there since, I think, 2000, 2009, 10? No. Yeah, 2009. So that's a long time. I think New York's an amazing time. So definitely going to try to do more
like
of
a... I live in New Jersey, and like I don't remember the last time I've been to New York.
It's fun.
I don't really go to New York that much, but like when I do, yeah, it's fun in a sense. The thing with me, like yourself, as well, like I'm not like a city guy, you could I say. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like I hate that traffic.
I hate traffic, and that's why my wife and I, we just took the train like from Pittsburgh to New York because it's nice. You just hop on and it just drops you off right at Penn Station or whatever it's called, and it's just like you're in the city now, and it's real convenient. Like I would not want to drive it. I hate driving. Full disclosure, like I literally don't drive that much. Like, I have my driver's license, but I let the wifey drive all the time because I hate driving. It's like, you know, let her drive. I mean, now if I was out and about, like it's not as bad here because I live like in the mountains. Like you could take a nice cruise and it's not real, you know, crazy traffic and all that. But no, I know I'm ranting, but in all seriousness, this has been real fun. I'm looking forward to do that. Maybe, like I said, we'll schedule something. Everyone, you know, the Friday spaces, you're always welcome to come up and chat about whatever. I don't care. You could ask anything. And again, all seriousness, you can reach out to me whenever you want. I'll get back to you guys. So take care, everyone. Oracle, man, it was nice. I don't know if that's the first time you and I spoke, but nice catching up with you. Now we're always chatting in chats and stuff. But everyone else, man, thank you for your time. And cheers, everyone. Have a great rest of your Friday and good weekend.
Yeah, have a good one, guys. Get your khakis.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community. All these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.